text for our sermon, our gospel reading from Luke 15, those parables of the lost, especially these words. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They were there with Jesus, these Pharisees and scribes and sinners. They were right there in the presence of God. If anyone should be holy, you'd think it'd be these guys. They should be on their best behavior, shouldn't they? God was right there, in their midst, in flesh. And yet all these Pharisees and scribes can do is grumble. What are they grumbling about? That God, Jesus, would eat with sinners. Wow. How sinful they were, grumbling against God, like the people of Israel of old. When God gave them manna and quail and led them in the wilderness, and all the people could do was grumble against God. They didn't want God's leadership. They didn't want the food that God provided. They were unhappy with anything that God did. And here it seems pretty much the same, doesn't it? These Pharisees and scribes are unhappy with anything that God does. As we look at them, we can see their sin on display. Of course, we can see the same in our own world, can't we? Sin on display. Turn on the TV news or your news app or the newspaper or the radio, and it doesn't take long before those terrible stories start piling up. How could someone do that? We wonder. How could people not help, we think. With every news story, with every tragedy, with every difficulty, we come face to face with the fact that we are living in a sinful world. You know it. You see it. On the TV, in the news, and in your own life. There is sin everywhere. Isn't there? Yes. We can point it out. We can say, there it is, or there it is. It's all over. God does not approve of sin. You know that, Christian. But God allows it. He permits it. He uses it so often. You think of Joseph being sold into captivity by his brothers. They wanted him dead. Yet God used their terrible sin to save them. As God raised up Joseph in Egypt to provide for his family, God didn't approve of their sin, but God used their sin for his purpose. God never approves of any sin. Of course not. Yet often he does use it. He uses sin around us to remind us where we're living in a sinful world, and to remind us that sin is not just out there in the world, but it's in us also. We are by nature sinful and unclean before God. Just as sinful and unclean as this world is, so are we. Would we ever grumble against God? Maybe you say no. But when God demands that we have no other gods but Him, would we grumble against that? That we would honor His name and His day to joyfully hear His word read, proclaimed. That we would joyfully hear that, cling to it above all else, would we ever grumble against that? That we would turn out in love, to love our neighbor as ourselves. The law of God seems so incredibly easy to do, doesn't it? Sounds like anybody could do those simple Ten Commandments. And as we look at the law, as we use it rightly, we begin to see how difficult it is. The scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' day had memorized the law. They knew it inside and out. They were experts in it. And they couldn't keep it. They thought they were doing pretty good, better than those sinners over there or those tax collectors over there. But in truth, they looked good on the outside as they covered up their sins. It's not why God gave the law. God gave the law that we would reveal our sins before ourselves, that the law would be used rightly by us, that the law would condemn us as sinners. As we see sin all over, it's a reminder of who we are. We are just as bad. We deserve the full wrath and punishment and condemnation of a loving God. He should, in justice, punish us. For what have we ever done for Him? You know exactly where this is going, don't you? The sinners were clamoring to Jesus. They were desperate. They knew the sin all in the world around them. They could see the terrible things going on in their day. And they knew their own sin. They knew that they were sinful before God and man. And what could they do to make up their sins? There was nothing. Not one thing. They were lost. Like a sheep who'd been grazing with the flock with his head down and kept walking and walking and walking away. When that sheep finally picks up its head, it's miles away from home. No way to get back. No idea of which way to turn. Or like a woman who has silver coins. One of them falls off the table and gets kicked. Can the silver coin get up, jump back on the table? No. Those sinners in Jesus' day, they knew that they were the lost sheep. They were the lost coin. And someone came to them, searching them out, seeking them above all things. Jesus does the same thing today. He seeks sinners. For those who know that they are the worst of the worst, for those who know their sins before God and man, Jesus comes searching. Do you think He will stop? He'll sweep the whole house. He'll search every pasture. He'll look in every cupboard, behind every bush. He will seek and He will seek and He will seek until He finds the lost. You. Maybe that means He will use tragedies to remind you that you need Him. Maybe that means He'll use people in your life to speak to you of what Jesus has done for you. Maybe it will mean He will use His Word to come to you, wash your sins away. There in the power of His Word we stand. We live. We who are lost, who can't come back by any means of our own, we live in His Word. For there He calls us by name and rejoices over us as our ears are open to hear. As we hear Jesus tell us what He has done for us, that He has gone to the cross and died in our place and covers each and every one of our sins, all of them, He rejoices to tell us. Isn't the parable? When the shepherd finds the sheep, what does he do? He rejoices and has a party. When the woman finds the coin, what does she do? She rejoices and has a party. When Jesus finds you, what does he do? He rejoices and has a party. What kind of party does he have? This one. Divine service. Where he gives himself for you again. Where his word is proclaimed that you would hear of your sins, repent, and be saved. Be found by what Jesus has done. That you would draw near to him again who loves you. And rejoice. Not just for yourself. Not just selfish joy. But for everyone who is here. That by the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus, they, along with you, are found by him. We rejoice this day. We lost sheep. We lost coins. We rejoice that Jesus has found us. He's picked us up, brought us home, feeds and nourishes us. We don't deserve it. We haven't won it. But Jesus loves you enough to save you. In his name, amen.